Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Scripture alone, as St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy, pastor and confessor, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, and is useful, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Scripture alone. Step back with me for a moment, back to another time and another place. The year is 1521. The place is Worms, Germany. The occasion? A gathering of the Holy Roman Empire called by King Charles V to deal with the upstart Martin Luther and his teachings. And here's what happened. Martin Luther is brought in, and on a table in front of him, all his writings are laid out. And he is told that he must recant what he has written. He must renounce everything that he's written as being heretical. Now, Martin Luther didn't respond immediately, although we might expect that he would have. He was taken aback. He asked if he could have some time before answering, time that he would use to think and to pray. When he was finally brought back again the next day, after thinking and praying, he did apologize for one thing. He apologized for the harsh tone with which he'd attacked certain people. And if you've ever read Luther, you probably know what I mean. But he didn't apologize for what he'd written. In fact, when he was asked again to recant what he'd written, he flatly refused to back down from the truth of what he confessed. Instead, he said this: "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I don't accept the authority of popes and councils because they've contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen." Holy Scripture is the touchstone of what Luther believed, taught, and confessed. And it's the touchstone of what we believe, teach, and confess. From that day forward, Martin Luther was condemned as a heretic. In fact, the words that were sent out from the king said this, that everyone was forbidden to receive, to defend, to sustain, or to favor Martin Luther by words or deeds. What St. Paul wrote is true. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Today, on this Reformation Sunday, we stand with Luther and before him with St. Timothy and St. Paul on the sacred writings. We desire to continue in what we have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom we learned it. Today, we thank God for the faithful Christian lay people, parents, and teachers, and also for the pastors who taught us his word and who shared the truth with us. Because from them, we've learned to boldly and confidently say, "My conscience is captive to the word of God, to Scripture alone." Today we say that again: "My conscience is captive to the word of God, to Scripture alone." Now, when your conscience is captive to Scripture alone, there are three things that you can expect. The first one is that there will be attacks against your trust in Scripture. The second thing to expect is that God will use Scripture to recaptivate your hearts and your minds. And third, you can expect that Scripture will make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So first, there will be attacks. We ought to know that it's not going to be easy for our conscience to remain captive to the Word of God, to Scripture alone. In fact, we describe the church on earth as being the church militant, the church that is under attack, the church that is opposed and at war. Now, you and I know and believe that it's through the Word that the Holy Spirit breathes new life into us, the life of Jesus our Lord. We know that without the Word, Christians suffocate spiritually and die. And then the church becomes a spiritual graveyard instead of what it ought to be, a labor and delivery place of new birth in Christ. And that's the reason why the attack against the church is always an attack against God's Word, against the truth of His Word, trying to undermine it, or against our trust in that Word, trying to lead us not to believe what God says. Now, I think of it this way. Long ago, if you wanted to capture a city, all you had to do was stop up their water supply or contaminate the water supply. Scripture is our water supply. It is the clear and pure fountain of the church. It is the source of our life and our salvation. And so that's what gets attacked. The goal is to cut us off from this source of life, to pollute it and to contaminate it, because then our defeat will be certain. And I think that's what was happening when Luther was hauled before the authorities at the Diet of Worms. He was tempted to recant. He spent a day questioning what he'd written and what he'd taught. In fact, contrary to what we might think, Luther actually questioned himself in that moment. He doubted his own authority and his own understanding. And he felt the social stigma and the social pressure that were leading him to back down. But when he stood in front of that table, there was one thing that he was certain of. And that was the truth of God's Word. He held fast to Holy Scripture. He knew that he could not trust himself, but he knew that he could trust what God has said. So above all, he trusted God's Word. And no amount of pressure, no amount of persecution could get him to back down from that or cut him off from that supply of life and salvation. Luther was determined that nothing except Scripture would hold his conscience captive, not even if the Pope himself or an angel from heaven said it. Well, what would prevent you from continuing in what you have learned? What else would grab a hold of your conscience and keep it captive? There's plenty. There is, like Luther felt, persecution and social pressure. We feel that, especially those of you who work not in the church as I do, but out in the world. You know that that pressure would lead you, would tempt you to be silent or to compromise your beliefs. And then we also know that there are, as St. Paul told Timothy, evil people and imposters who go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Clearly, St. Paul believed that there is truth and that the truth matters. And not just your truth and my truth, but there is God's truth, which is above all. And so St. Paul was concerned about false doctrine and teaching, because that will contaminate our source of life. It'll ruin our health and make us sick, and possibly even be spiritually fatal. So St. Paul was concerned that we be aware of those evil people who would deceive and who are being deceived, because a little poison can poison the whole well. That's how it started in the beginning. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he began by deceiving Eve. And from that deception, sin came into the world. St. Paul also says that we must guard against having itching ears. Itching ears are ears that only want to hear what suits our own passions and desires. Ears that only want to be affirmed in the things that we desire or feel. And when we follow our itching ears, we will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And we know that this has happened and it will happen. We know Christians who have turned away and wandered off after lies and myths and in pursuit of their own passions. God help them and bring them back. And may God keep us from wandering off into lies. The real question for us is this: what else besides Scripture is knocking at the door to grab a hold of your conscience? Is it the spirit of the age? Is it what you feel about things or what feels good to you? Is it an idea that you picked up or heard somewhere, not from the Scriptures, but somewhere else? Is it the so-called truths of science? Or is your conscience perhaps captive to your sin and trapped by guilt and fear? But we cannot serve two masters. If your conscience isn't captive to the Word of God, to Scripture alone, then it's not captive to Scripture at all, not even in the smallest bit. Because either Scripture holds you captive, or you hold Scripture captive to your thoughts and your desires. But thanks be to God. God knows that our consciences will be attacked by these attacks on Scripture. And he knows that we need to be defended, and he knows that we need to be recaptivated again. And thanks be to God that he has given us and still gives us Holy Scripture. And he uses this Scripture to grab a hold of our hearts and our minds and our consciences day after day and week after week. Through the Scripture, he breathes new life into us again, his life. And he grabs a hold of your heart and your mind by his Spirit. For all Scripture is breathed out by God. That means that all Scripture is inspired. It is the Spirit's word, and it has the Spirit's life and strength in it. All Scripture, each and every word of Scripture, is breathed out by God. And each and every word of Scripture is profitable for teaching the truth about him, and for reproof of error and falseness, and for the correction of sin and ungodly living, and for training in righteousness, that we might live as God's own people. In other words, Scripture is useful for faith, what we believe, and for life, how we are to live. Everything, dear Christian, everything that we believe and everything that we do must be tested against this touchstone of God's word. That's how our conscience is formed and shaped and made captive to God's word, so that nothing can move you from him. Always back to the word. And note this, Luther said quite a bit about the conscience in what I quoted earlier, that it is not good to go against one's conscience, but he meant a conscience formed by God's word. He wasn't saying that your conscience is Lord or master, but your conscience needs to be shaped. It must be held captive by God's word. It must have one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And indeed, that's what Scripture gives us and gives us again today. This one Lord Jesus Christ, he is the central message of the Scriptures. He is what the Scriptures are all about. And not about Jesus as the one who would teach us good things, not about Jesus as the one who is simply an example of holy living, but about the Jesus who is our Savior, the one who paid for our sins with his own blood shed on the cross, the one who bought us back from the devil and from sin and from death by suffering and dying for us. About the Jesus who rose from the dead on the third day and who even now ascended into heaven, lives and reigns and rules with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is the Jesus who is made known to us in Scripture. And it teaches us to know this Jesus, not only for what he did, but for who he is. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God and also true man, is my Lord, that through the Scriptures he has captivated my conscience, and that he holds me now and forever. This is what Scripture teaches, and it's what Scripture delivers to us. The Scriptures that are not only a dead and written word, but are a living and active word of God. The scriptures that are brought to us through the water of holy baptism and through the absolution of the pastor and are joined to the bread and wine, making it the body and blood of Jesus. We stand on God's word alone, and we receive these gifts of God by faith alone, not by our works, not by anything in ourselves that merits or deserves them, not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe and is given to you through Scripture alone. And this is how Scripture makes you wise through faith for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, it's Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. We stand on Scripture alone because Scripture alone shows us Jesus alone as our Savior and our Lord. I'm reminded of the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. But when the voice had spoken and the disciples looked again, Jesus was found alone. The law and the prophets are there to testify of him, to point to him, to show us him, to make him known to us. Indeed, all of Scripture is given to us that we might see Jesus and know him. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to have a conscience captive to the Word of God, to have a conscience that is made wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, is ultimately to have a conscience that is free in Jesus. A conscience that is free to love God and to serve the neighbor. A conscience that is free from having to save ourselves or rescue ourselves, but that rests securely on what he has done and on the forgiveness of sins and the life and salvation that he gives us. The word of the Lord remains forever. The word of the Lord is eternal. And so this gift that we have in God's word is an eternal and everlasting gift. And this freedom we have is a freedom that will last forever. Martin Luther, through God's word, learned to be so free that he could confess the truth of God's word even against those who would persecute him or who wished to kill him. This is when we are most free, when we confess God's word, trusting in him and not afraid of the things that stand against us. When we can withstand the attacks that come against the scriptures, knowing that in them we have God's truth, no matter what anyone or anything else says. Today, we return again to God's word. Today, again, we pray for consciences captive to that word. And today, we pray that by God's word, he would set us free to love him and to serve our neighbors, free to live in the forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ. And who knows what God will be able to do and accomplish through us and through others whose consciences are held captive to God's word. Martin Luther said at one point that it's so important to teach the scriptures to our children and that we ourselves learn them. He knew there were enemies standing close by. He was afraid of the Muslims who were coming from Turkey. And he said, if we teach the scriptures to our children, then no matter what might take their bodies captive, their minds will be free in Christ. They will have something of the Christian faith to take with them and to hold on to. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, back to the word, because the word brings us back to Jesus, that our consciences may be captive to him, and they may be set free by his forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.